Ashley Franco, our investment advisor representatives of and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth, and we have with us Dan Miller this morning. How are you, Dan?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
Very well. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was warm, as everybody knows. You know, I tell you, we all went into meltdown here, and it doesn't sound like it's going to end for a little while either.
No, today's going to be warm, that's for sure. It's going to be hot. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, so. It's just going to be hot. You know, I tell you, but we're used to it, I guess, part of the country. Don't like it. I mean, the fair was here, so what, I guess, what date's the fair? Okay, it's going to be 100 that week, it's going to be 90 in the 90s, but I hope everybody got through the fair okay. Yeah. You know, I hope everybody had a good time and got through that and without too much meltdown. I mean, it's tough on the kids, tough on the livestock, and that's always, tough on the power grid, too, all the fans and everything running.
But. That's for sure. Caleb Roebuck as well. Caleb, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I'm doing well.
How was your weekend?
It was good. A hot weekend as well, too. I was telling Dan, we did a little yard. It was like weekend where you do a little bit outside, go in the shade to cool off, and then you'd be like, all right, it's still not cool enough. I need to go inside. And you just kind of repeat that process multiple times.
That was it for the weekend.
Yep.
Huh? Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely.
How about your weekend?
It was good. It was good.
Did you get to hold that grandbaby this weekend?
I did.
All right. Did, there you go. See, it's a good weekend right there. I don't care how odd it is. Doesn't matter.
I sat on the couch and took it. You know, the whole thing where he sits there and just dozed off. And fell.
Sure. Yeah. There you go. I say it doesn't matter, Aaron. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how odd it is. What country bombed what country, doesn't matter. You know what? If you're holding grandbaby, that it just about fixes it all.
It's awesome. It really is awesome. That's for sure. So. All right. Well, let's talk about this. Is an interesting. I don't think we've discussed this before, Dan, that I recall, the associate to owner transition. So, Caleb, what are we talking about here with the associate to owner transition?
Yeah, to kick it off, we kind of want to talk about, those decisions that, many professionals and people we talk to, young professionals probably face at some point in their career, whether do you remain an employee or when do you take that next step towards ownership or owning the business or starting your own practice? And, this applies to physicians, dentists, veterinarians, attorneys, accountants, again, all professions we see and work with here.
Financial advisors.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And many other professions. But, ownership was once viewed kind of as that natural next step. You've gained that experience. You've built your skills. Now you're looking to become a partner or purchasing the practice. Well, today, that decision isn't so straightforward, or there's a lot more complexities than it was, maybe 10, 15, 20, or for sure 30 years ago, especially in those industries. Many younger professionals, they're carrying student debt now. When those industries, you got to take on student debt to get there. Others value flexibility and work-life balance differently than previous generations. And ownership, has its different benefits and opportunities, but also comes with different responsibilities and risks and costs and things like that as well, too. So today we want to explore that, what are those challenges? When do you move from an employee to an owner? How do you prepare yourself financially for that transition? And what does it take, to ultimately make that ownership successful over the long run over that transition?
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the mindset of that from an employee to an owner. Dan, tell me about that.
I mean, Aaron, I've walked this journey. I've walked this journey and it's different, now. Of course I was an employee when I worked at the bank years ago. I worked up for myself on the farm. I was an employee though, when I worked at the bank. And then, when I went to work with James, a lot of people have a misconception there that I worked for James. I mean, I was actually working with him. I was an independent contractor in there, but then you're your own boss, and then we purchased the firm from him. Mm-hmm. And now you are really the owner and you have employees, it's a transition and it's a different mindset. And, it is just different. And, one of the things that Caleb mentioned there about the work-life balance, I'm 62. I'm the second to the youngest in the boomer generation officially. And, if you look at the baby boomers generation, and you look at definitions, how they define the baby boomer generation, one of the things they say are 60-hour work weeks, and no matter what, you just go to work and all these things, And then you look at other generations, more work-life balance. And I've thought about this so many times. I go, all us baby boomers, we're the stupid ones. We sat here and we worked, which is good.
Yeah.
We built things, but, the work-life balance is so important. So that is something that really has to be taken into consideration so much with that, change from the employee mindset to the owner mindset. One of the biggest misconceptions about ownership is that it's simply a promotion. Many people assume that becoming an owner is just doing that same work while earning a larger paycheck. Well, I'm going to tell you what, reality, that's not what it is. It's an entirely different role. When you have the responsibility of others, it's big. As an employee or associate, your primary responsibility is typically delivering the service you're trained to provide. You focus on those clients, those patients, those customers, projects, cases, whatever's in front of you. And the thing to remember is owners still do those things, but they also have the additional responsibilities of, taking care of that staff, that you were once one of, maybe growth, payroll, technology, investments, facility costs, regulatory changes, long-term strategy. That's something that I think sometimes, our staff in our office, they look back there at me and they wonder what I'm doing, and Caleb probably thinks that every day. I don't know, but they probably look at what I'm doing. And
he's noticed he's being silent.
He's kind of smiling. But the reality is that ownership requires a shift from being that sole practitioner or, worker, or not worker, but employee type role, to the leader too. And that transition is really exciting for some, and for others, it may not be what they expected, because ownership is more than just income. It's about the responsibility and, decisions that affect employees, clients, patients, and sometimes entire communities. I've thought about over the years, Aaron, we've had to make big decisions, that affect lots of people's lives and employees' lives. But there's other things that, I've also had the privilege of, being an owner, of being able to watch people like Caleb develop too, helping provide a life for your employees and an opportunity for your employees and that kind of thing, but there's a big responsibility that comes along with that.
Absolutely.
Some of the technical skills, may have helped you get to your chosen profession, but really your leadership skills are what help you succeed. And it's funny, I just started reading a book. I got to tell you, it's called The Champion's Creed, and it's by Ben Utek. Ben Utek was a tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, and he was on the team that won the Super Bowl, I think it was 2006, under Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about Tony Dungy's leadership. Of course, he's a Hall of Fame coach, rightfully so. And it is, I'm just getting into it, but it's talking about building the culture and building the leadership. Well, those are the things that as an owner, you've got to be so aware of. And before pursuing ownership, it can really be valuable for an associate to ask themselves a simple question. Do I want to perform the work or do I want to lead the business? And for some people, that answer is both. For others, ownership may not align with the type of career they ultimately want. And there is no right or wrong answer.
Right.
There is no right or wrong answer. But it's important to understand the difference between, working in the field solely and running the business while you're working in the field. There's a huge difference.
Okay. So what about the financial component of that, Caleb, to get prepared to do that financially? What's that look like?
Yeah, that's generally the biggest part. If you've been working in the business, you kind of know the technical skills, like Dan said, and stuff like that. But it is that ownership, to be part of your future, that preparation begins, long before that actual purchase agreement happens, before the owner, you decide, hey, we do want to sell, and many professionals spend those years, developing those clinical technical skills, but, it is very hard for them to prepare financially for those ownership opportunities as well, though, because ownership usually requires capital, money. If you're going to buy the business and buy out the owner, that's going to take money. So whether you're buying into an existing practice, purchasing shares from a retiring partner, or acquiring a business outright, that financial preparation is a huge component of it. You know, all the mental things that Dan said of, hey, do I want to do it? Do I want to work on the business or in the business? But then, you know, the rubber meets the road with the finances. And that starts with understanding your own personal financial situation. You know, personally, how much debt are you carrying? And your spouse, you know, this would include your spouse too. If you're going to be an owner, Dan could attest to this. It's a, it's kind of a both, you know, you're all included in it. Whether your spouse is working the business or not, it is going to affect that. But how much flexibility do you have in your cash flow? Do you have emergency funds? And have you begun building assets outside of your profession or outside of your retirement accounts to potentially pay for that? You know, and these questions become increasingly important when you consider that ownership. And many professionals are also surprised by how much planning goes into evaluating that ownership opportunity. Because, again, it's, they know the business, but it's all the things of, well, how do I manage employees? What are the rules and regulations around this? What is all the other things, you know? And it's understanding, you know, further understanding the business, too. Again, if you've been there for a long time, you might understand the day-to-day operations, but do you understand what does the revenue of the business look like? How's it generated? What are the expenses? How dependent is that business on one individual, whether that's that owner retiring or the other one, you know, are there future growth opportunities and what risks need to be addressed, you know, that you and the owner see or before the owner retires?
Stuff you wouldn't necessarily think about in your day-to-day operation, right?
Through exactly. Yeah.
Those day-to-day things. So
yeah, you might, you know, come in contact with them a little bit, but you haven't thought about them on that ownership level, like Dan says, right, of thinking like an owner rather than an employee. And those ownership decisions involve coordinating between those attorneys, accountants, lenders, and financial professionals. You know, so the earlier those conversations begin, the more those people have time available to look at that. And, you know, one of the most common themes, you know, that to set yourself up for success in that preparation is, you know, start that planning before the opportunity appeared. You know, as the employee, think about, hey, if I do get this opportunity, what would it look like? How would I do it? How financially would I prepare myself? When that opportunity arrives, you know, how are you going to evaluate it? How do you know it is the right time? Do you have a framework structure to evaluate? Is this the right thing rather than rushing to it? So, you know, if you are an employee out there that's, you know, become available tomorrow, would your financial situation allow you to seriously consider it? Or would you need to do some of that? Because there's that mental component and then the financial component as well, too.
All right. So how do you make, short term, you jump in there and you're off and you're involved in the business. How do you make that work long term, Dan? What's the strategy here?
Well, I tell you, of course, it's going to be different for every single business. I mean, every single type of business is going to be different. You know, I mean, I look back again. Like I said, I've walked this road. Denise and I walked this road. You know, in 2013, we purchased our firm from James and Jan. And, you know, and I still remember how scary that was at the time. Mm-hmm. And when I say scary, yes, I knew the business. You know, James was a great mentor to me. You know, he let me in on some of the financial side of it and all that kind of stuff. But still, all of a sudden, you had to go from being your own. You know, I was an independent contractor, so I had my own business, small scale. But then, you know, now you have, you know, employees dependent upon you, payroll. Right. You know, you got to make payroll now, you know, for other people. And so it's a big, you know, it's a milestone, but it's also the beginning of a much longer journey. I mean, a person needs to be able to, you know, do pro forma statements where you can forecast out to see, you know, what's this going to look like long term? You know, because ownership success is determined about really what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can buy into a successful business today, but if you don't have a plan to sustain that success and grow and build, you know, it can be pretty challenging. You know, one of the challenges owners face is balancing that income today with tomorrow's opportunities. You know, like Caleb mentioned, you know, how much should I reinvest in the business? How much should be directed toward retirement savings? How much should be used to strengthen the business for future growth? Mm-hmm. In other words, are there, you know, additional opportunities? You know, off air, we were talking about AI a little bit, you know, and some of that. I mean, we have all kind of technology in front of us now, you know, that we have available to us, you know. But guess what? Every one of them comes with a subscription. Yeah. You know, everything's by subscription.
Yeah.
So much a month now. But there's great tools. Caleb and Denise and I talk about them all the time. It's a great tool, but does that work for us? Do we need that? Will that benefit us enough to pay for that technology and grow the business or get a benefit on top of that?
Right.
You know, and Caleb's a big part of our decision making on that now because he's in the trenches more than I am now with the clients to see if it's, you know, going to make those. So those are all those kind of decisions. Successful owners, you know, they always tend to think beyond the income. They think also about enterprise value. And, you know, this is something I think about a lot, and every business owner should, is what we are investing in or what we're doing building enterprise value that I can either transfer to the next generation, sell someday, or bring a partner in or whatever. So that enterprise value is important. Systems, developing future leaders. I mean, I look at this guy beside me, and I mean, I just feel so proud because I know he can run this business and he's a future leader here. They create processes that allow the business to function efficiently over time. You know, many owners realize that the goal is to become indispensable, you know, and I think that's very, very true. You know, Aaron, the most valuable businesses are businesses that can run totally without the owner in place. I mean, that should ultimately be the goal of every business. And when you say that out loud, people sometimes think, well, that's dumb, Dan. I am the business. Well, I get that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about our business. So much of it used to revolve around me. But now it doesn't. It revolves around our staff, around our team. Mm-hmm. I mean, Caleb, Ashley, Marcus, you know, Amy, Diane, Sloan, it revolves around the team, mm-hmm. not just where's Dan today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's so important. So, you know, creating that flexibility is so important. And the other thing that it can do, and Denise and I have been fortunate, is it can help owners achieve greater balance in their personal and professional lives when you have a team that you can rely on.
There's your work balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, so ownership can be very rewarding. It can create opportunities, serve clients, support employees, and build something meaningful. But it also requires intentional planning and leadership. And that's why once the paperwork is signed, the ownership journey is really only beginning.
That's the first on a big
It is.
All right, Caleb. So, and by the way, we are visiting with Dan Miller and Caleb Roebuck from Milestone Financial, building rural wealth. Well, wrap it all up for me, Caleb. Put a bow on it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dan said it pretty good, especially in a small community. If you're a small business owner, it's a lot of responsibility. You know, you're taking care of your community, the other people in your community, the services you're providing your clients. You know, and I would say, you know, if becoming an owner tomorrow, if you thought you wanted to be, you know, I would say ask yourself what success looks like 10 years from now. And it can be some of these things, it can be all of them, but would it be greater income? Would it be greater flexibility, more work-life balance? Would it be to have a thriving team and helping those people succeed? Or would it be a business that's creating opportunities for others? Ideally, you want it to be all of those, but again, people and ownership have different motivations, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's one thing Dan and Denise have done of how do you do all this? You know, Dan says a rising tide, you know, lifts all boats. And, you know, in a small community, when you have employees, stuff like that, how do you keep them, retain them? Because there's a lot more to it than the day-to-day that people don't see. But I think if you're a young professional out there, you know, looking for that, we're certainly happy to sit with people. How do you coordinate, you know, not only on the personal side, but on the business planning side? So when that opportunity comes, you're kind of ready to execute. But it takes a conversation, planning, you know, thoughts, pros and cons of, you know, all those things. So we're happy to help if anybody's exploring that ownership path. And give us a call, 712-623-5726, or visit our website at milestonefinancialgroup.com.
Very good. Good information.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron. And then to go right along with what Caleb said, and then I would say in that same conversation, if you're on the other side and you're that potentially retiring owner or someone looking to transition out of their business, again, that's the other side of the coin, so to speak.
Yeah.
But we absolutely can help you with that as well. Like I said, you know, I think I've shared with you, you know, my CEPA training, that Certified Exit Planning Advisor training. I mean, that's just what that's geared for because we see such a need out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you ultimately want is just what Caleb said, is you ultimately want, you know, a successful retirement for the retiring owner and a successful start for the successor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you want, but that doesn't happen just by snapping your fingers and hoping it'll work. And that's even true in families.
Yeah.
I mean, family successions planning is, you know, because unfortunately there you got other dynamics involved.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can appreciate that as well. Yeah. I mean, every family business can. I mean, that's just reality. And so, it takes planning and a listening ear sometimes.
Yep.
Very good. Great information. people want to reach out, they can reach out to you, and you'd love to visit with them. So
absolutely. See you both. Yep. Thank you, Aaron.
Make it a great day. Dan Miller with me and Caleb Roebuck from Milestone Financial. It's been Building Rural Wealth.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
When your diesel engine